Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
I've been at the bedside of many people in their final moments, when they stand on the edge of eternity. I have never heard anyone say, "Bring me my diplomas. I want to look at them one more time. Show me my awards, my medals, the gold watch I was given." When life on earth is ending, people don't surround themselves with objects. What we want around us is people. People we love and have relationships. We said we're talking about four things this month on stewardship, a way of life. Number one, we said we talked about finances. Everybody say amen. We talked about time. And today we're going to talk about the third one, relationships. Again, I intend on this one being short, but it's very important. Now, one of the reasons why you say, why did you give us all four topics from the very beginning of this series? Because I prayed and believed that each time people sat in this house that they would hear exactly what God wanted them to hear. And if you've been in a position where this is applying to you today, there's no temptation that I'm just preaching at you. You ever felt that way? He's preaching right at me. Did somebody talk to him? No, the Lord knew. Because I told you 3 weeks out what we'd be talking about today. Somebody say amen. So we're talking about relationships. Now I want to give you a quote I've used every week. I'm going to use it again and again Wednesday night, and then we'll finish up with it. When I think of the word lottery, I never think of stewardship. That was the best example that I could come up with to bring us to a mindset of what stewardship really is. Because when you think of a lottery, that's not stewardship. It's something of chance. I believe stewardship is not by chance. It's intentional. Well, amen. I believe living a life of stewardship is intentional. How many of you have started pruning trees and things like that? That's an intentional decision that you do every year around this time. Am I right? I noticed that when I came up, I guess it was last week or so, that all the shrubs had been trimmed and things had been pruned and it looked pretty and it was nice. That's an intentional decision. But if you just let it go and you let it go and you are not a good steward of it. Amen. Thank you, buddy. He's going to be my amen corner this morning. I never think of stewardship with the lottery. I think of chance, wishful thinking, an easy way out. God wants us to be good stewards. Now, our key verse that we've used every week is Matthew 25 and 23. Let's read it, and then we're going to get right on into preaching this morning. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Everybody say faithful. That wasn't everybody. Everybody say faithful. Thank you. "You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." I believe that we experience full life, complete life, when we practice a life of stewardship. To practice stewardship, we must understand that stewardship is totally and completely about relationships. To be a good steward of your relationships is probably one of, if not the most difficult area of stewardship that exist. Now, as I preach this to you this morning, you may wonder, how does relationships apply? But I believe if you'll listen and take notes and hear the scripture, you'll see that relationships are the key foundational element in our life to being a good steward. When relationships are off kilter, Ben alluded to it in the act of worship this morning and prayer and ministering to us, that many times the television stays on way too long. Well, amen. Many times we spend way too many hours on Facebook. Give me a phone, somebody. I know y'all got one. Well, that's a case. I'll take that. It's the world we live in. Randall, we try to go out on a date, you know, where we're used to goo-goo eyes and be all sweet. And, right? Karen, right? And you look over at your spouse and they're like, you know, sometimes the conversations go like this on a date. "Have you read? Did you know so-and-so said?" Come on, guys. It's like that we've learned to build our conversation and our relationships around social media. It's like sometimes we sit as a couple and we can't find anything to talk about unless we pull up what everybody else is talking about. It is really quiet. Thank you, Vicky. I'm sharing this morning because I want you to be a good steward. I want you to live a life of stewardship. I want you to find that foundational relationships in your life, how important they are. And when those things get out of line, everything else starts falling apart. Oh, it may get quiet, but I'm going to preach it to you. Are you ready? Let's read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Father, I thank you for this word right now, and I pray that you will anoint these lips of mine to speak with clarity. Let ground be receptive to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Everything about this scripture declares the importance of relationship. Every single part of this scripture declares the importance of relationship. Number one, man was created in relationship with God. I hope that you understand this morning that if you sit here with a void in your life, it's simply because you don't know Jesus. If you sit here today with a dark place or an emptiness, it's because you haven't allowed Him access, because originally we were created in relationship with God. I want you to understand this morning that part of your stewardship is to maintain that relationship above all other relationships. Let all the church say amen. We can't watch too much television. We can watch too much television. We can spend too much time doing other things and find ourselves having excluded God. I remember some years ago, I used to love to play golf. Wasn't that great at it, but I loved it. There were a lot of years I spent a lot of time in the woods hunting. That was a big part of my life. One time my wife came to me, Randall, and she showed me the financial pie chart of our expenses and how big the area that was automatically turned green for some reason, how much I had spent on golf. And I began to think about, Brother James, how much time I actually spent on the golf course. I know, the pastor was out visiting the greens. You ever heard that story? When they called the church, Toy just said, "Pastor's out visiting the greens. He'll be back later." I didn't know we had anyone with the last name of Green that came to our church. But I was spending too much time. And there's been times my wife would come to me and she would say to me, "You're giving too much time to this or too much time to that." Now, I'm 43, but I grew up in the video game generation. Some of you guys think y'all have the monopoly on it, but I grew up in it. I remember Atari. Can somebody say amen? I remember Nintendo. I remember the Christmas I got Duck Hunt and Super Mario. Come on now. Zelda. I grew up in that generation. And so over the years, I'd find myself playing games. And you say, "Why are you preaching on this, Pastor?" Because I'm trying to deal with some practical issues that really do destroy and take away from our lives. So I grew up in that generation, and I found these things to be very much a part of my life. And years into our marriage, I found myself at night spending 2 and 3 hours a night playing video games. Come on now. 2 and 3 hours a night. My wife asked me the other day, they had a Black Friday sale or something on a, what was that thing? What do you call those things? Xbox. Whatever, the newest Xbox, and it was like really cheap. And she looked at me, she said, "Do you want one?" I said, "I want one, but do not buy it for me." You said, "Well, Pastor, why would you say that?" Because I know me. Yes. She just called me weak. Can we kick her out? I'm kidding. But you're right. I know my weakness. David, I know where my boundaries are. And I'm that guy that grew up in that generation. So if I sit down and start playing this game and I enjoy it, before long, I don't realize I've spent 2 hours. Now, maybe you're not willing to admit that today. Maybe you're just too proud and, you know, consider yourself too mature. But I believe real maturity causes us to acknowledge our weaknesses and become a good steward of our life. And choose, no matter how simple it may seem, anything that separates you from your time with God. Anything that captivates you more than God. I love sports. He mentioned that this morning. I love college football is my thing, man. That's what I want to watch every year. Amen. I can sit and watch it. Do not disturb me and do not bother me. But how many of us spend 3 hours with the Lord in a day? That's good preaching. My grandmother used to love the soap operas. And these are the days of our lives. I would go over there to have lunch with her when I was, you know, 15, 16 years old, and before long I was watching them with her. I could tell you everything. You've heard me say it. I could tell you everything Bo and Hope was doing. And Stefano been resurrected so many times, it was ridiculous. Yeah, see, you know I know what I'm talking about. Hope was pretty. Yeah, I knew it. It's amazing how much time we can spend. I like to watch live PD. Michael says I shouldn't probably, but I like to watch it. My wife hates it with a passion. And sometimes it's on like if there's 3 or 4 episodes recorded, it just keeps rolling and rolling. Before long, it's been like 2 hours. She told me yesterday, she said, I don't know how you watch this mess. All that drama make my heart rate go up. I said, I don't like that kind. I like it when they're chasing them. What are you telling me? We can spend hours doing something our flesh wants. But we find it hard to give God even 30 minutes sometimes. Are we really living a life of stewardship? When I'm dead and gone, can I tell you what I want? I don't want my children to grow up and talk about the hours Daddy spent watching live PD. I want them to talk about the times they heard me praying. Come on now. Don't let anything separate you. Man was created to be in relationship with God. Number two, man was created to be fruitful and to multiply. I've already preached on things that steal your fruitfulness. They stop you from being able to multiply properly in this life, not just with children, but in all the areas where we should be productive in our lives. Some people have become so addicted to the sofa and so addicted to entertainment that we produce nothing in life. The reason why some of us never have anyone come to church with us is because we spend all our time doing what we enjoy instead of what God's mandate says we should do. Oh, come on. Well, that's what we hired the pastor for. Can I tell you, that's unscriptural. My job, according to the Word of God, is to teach and to train you and to raise you up so that the body can do the work of the ministry. And you say, why is that? Because we get a lot more done. Just look around you this morning. They were reporting the other week what our average attendance has come up to and where we are at this point. And I think about if just each one of us, I listened to Michelle this morning pray that as she drove, I believe it was her because I had my eyes closed, but as she drove to church this morning, she prayed about every person that she could think of that was lost that needed to be in God's house today. We have an opportunity. But if we are not good stewards, we miss our opportunities. We miss the chance of raising the banner, the love of Jesus Christ, and making a difference in this world. Number three, man was created to rule over the earth and its creation. Don't allow this earth to rule you. We are to rule it. Take control. We dedicated these beautiful babies. Come here, Clayton, since you're so many amens. Come here, buddy. Hurry, hurry. How old are you now?
Tell me.
5.
What's my name?
Papa.
What's my name? You know my name. What's your name?
Clayton Hodgkin.
He's going to outgrow me. Can you see this? He's not even 6 yet. And he's already almost in my armpit, man. It's my job as a grandfather Are you hearing me? But if I'm not a good steward, I miss out on the opportunities of investment. One day I'll be gone. One day I'll take my last breath. One day I'll no longer be the pastor of Mountain Gap. Maybe he will be. Only God knows. Are you hearing me? Thank you, buddy. Man was created to rule over the earth, be the example. All right, I'm working to a close. How do we prioritize our relationships? Are you ready? Number one, God. I've already preached on. I told you this was a simple message, but one that was needed. God. God must be first. Number two, our family. Can I tell you something? God will never jeopardize your family. If there's jeopardy in your family, it's because God is no longer first. Listen to what I just said. God, then family. If you as a father and a mother will keep God first, then family lines up. When times get tough, children aren't perfect. They can stress you and stretch you. Somebody say amen. But you love them. Sometimes you hug them, and sometimes, as my mother used to say, you want to wring their neck. You ever felt like that? I love you, but by God, I'm fixing to send you to meet Jesus. I've told Kylie that a few times. That's $5. I should have picked another name. Casey, you got a husband now. I owe you nothing. God, family, work. Work should never be the precedence over God. It should never be the precedence over family. Listen to me. God, family, work, ministry. I thank God for ministry. For those of you that work a job, I realize that sometimes on Sunday you have to work. You have to provide for your family. I understand that, but I also understand that there are times that you can pray and God can change the dynamics of your work. But ministry should never take precedence over the job that provides for your family. Why? Because my number one priority is to take care of my wife and children. Just got quiet. I love to sing. I love to preach. I love to pray. I love to do all those things in ministry. Pastor, I love to teach. I love to this. But there's times in people's lives where they've got to provide for their family. And that is first. Provide for your family. Trust God and He will work out the situation. Never use work as an excuse to bypass ministry. Ministry's next. Number five, friends. Wow. This usually goes to the younger generation, but sometimes in our life it flows over as we get older where our friendships interfere with our family. I said our friendships interfere with our family. Ladies, you don't need the advice of other girls that you're friends with about your husband. I'm just telling you. Don't get quiet on me this morning, so I'm going to say amen. Friendships. Guys, your best buddies, your pals, the ones you run with, they're great and they're fun and they're wonderful, but never let them take priority over your family. Selene and I first got married, I lied to her several times. I know y'all are all holy, you've never done it. But I wanted to go hang out with my buddies. I wanted to go fishing. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I lied to her. And the truth was what I was doing wasn't even really wrong if I just told her the truth. But I didn't want her to fuss at me, so I lied to her. Well, then that created a whole other dynamic. Well, why are you lying to me about going fishing? Were you really fishing? God, family, work, ministry, friends. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Oh man, what an awesome thought to be called a friend of God. If you are not a good steward of your life, you cannot find yourself in this position because everything else will take precedence over God. John 15, verse 13 said, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. All relationships line up. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm finishing up. All relationships line up when our relationship with God is first. If you want to get your life in order, put God at the top. Look at your neighbor and tell him, put God at the top. I close with this statement. Rick Warren writes in The Purpose-Driven Life, I've been at the bedside of many people in their final moments when they stand on the edge of eternity. I have never heard anyone say, bring me my diplomas. I want to look at them one more time. Show me my awards, my medals, the gold watch I was given. When life on earth is ending, people don't surround themselves with objects. What we want around us is people. People we love and have relationships with. Relationships are the key element, starting with God, to live a life of stewardship. Would you stand with me this morning?
Today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.